Education of our children doesn't begin and end at academia. There is a spiritual responsibility on each parent and teacher to nurture and train a young soul spiritually. This is called Chinuch. Join Rabbi G every Monday at 2 p.m. as he explores education and Chinuch for parents and teachers. Torah isn't education, it's transformation.
We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3. This is a very interesting day today for many of us who are celebrating. Not everybody is as familiar, but today is considered Pesach Sheni, which is a second opportunity of Pesach. In the years prior, when people used to still be able to go to the temple and have the Korban Pesach, if you are familiar, if you didn't have an opportunity, today is a day for second chance, which is something that it's always important to remember, that there are second chances. There is an opportunity. If it didn't work on the first time, then many times we will have the opportunity to go for the second time, and that is this day today of second chances and second opportunities. And just as an awareness point, if you do have your traditions for Pesach Sheni and you forgot it is today, which sometimes happens, so now you know. And it's important that we all do so. As you know, every week we are here with a different topic, different discussion, something that is an opportunity for us to learn, to grow, to know what's out there, to know what we can achieve and in what way. And today we are going to get three generations of wisdom, which I find very intriguing, fascinating, very exciting, because we are going to discuss a bit about educational programs outside of South Africa and specifically in Israel. We do know that there is a very well-known organization worldwide called Na'ale, who send Jewish students from all over the world and give them an opportunity to study in Israel and to get their matric over there, to continue their learnings, etc. And today we're going to hear about it from the student himself, from his father and grandfather, and I'm sure everything that comes with it, from complexities of having your loved one overseas, especially in these simple days that, last 2 years in Israel, having a child overseas wasn't such an easy thing for many of us. And just really let's learn and understand and get the opportunities. So the student I'm going to be speaking today with is Zach Todis. He is a South African boy who's currently in his in grade 12 in Israel doing his matric. And we're going to discuss a bit about the journey, how it is from South Africa to Israel. How do you work with that? In the conversation, as I said, we have Graham, who is his father, and even Colin, the grandfather, is going to be joining us today. So let me not waste your time, and let's go right to it. Good afternoon, and thank you so much for being with us. I'm going to start with Zach, even though I really should have respect and start with grandfather. But anyways, we have to. So, Zach, good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us.
Okay, so let's just get to know you first before we start this discussion. Tell me about Zach.
Me? I'm Zach. From Joburg, we used to live in Victory Park, went to King David Victory Park, moved to Red Hill, and then in the end of 2022, I went to Na'ale, to Israel, and I've been there since, and I'm about to finish school.
Wow, okay. So from Red Hill to Israel, sounds like, where are you, what school do you go to in Israel?
Called Motinzon, it's in Hodesh Oon. It's near Tel Aviv.
Okay, and for South Africans, it's near Tel Aviv, I guess. In Israel, there's a lot happening in the center of Israel. Yeah, correct. Yeah. Okay, so let's get to know your dad a bit. Graham, good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, Rabbi. Shalom Aleichem to you and your listeners. It's very nice to be here.
Okay, Graham, you are currently in South Africa?
In Johannesburg.
In Johannesburg.
Yeah, in South Africa. Yeah, that's correct. We've had Zaki away for 3 years, and he's just about to graduate. And it's a very exciting time. He's been very happy there, and Baruch Hashem, it's worked out very well.
Amazing.
The cost has been having him away from the family. We miss him, obviously, terribly. But we've seen, you know, how he's grown, and the sacrifice has, in our case, definitely been worth it. No question.
Okay, we'll debate that, and we'll see. We'll have that discussion today. Colin, thank you so much for being with us as well. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Okay, so I'm guessing you're in Joburg as well. A bit about you?
Myself? Well, at the moment, we're busy making plans for Graham to go and live in Israel. Graham leaves in about 2 weeks. He's making Aliyah, and then his wife, my daughter, will be following in about 2 months.
Okay.
And so we're obviously quite sad, but hopefully we'll be visiting there often.
Wow. So what a lot of people don't know is that the acronym of Na'ale is Noar Ole Lifnei Horim. So it sounds like this is exactly what has been happening in your family. So just out of curiosity, Graham, is it really this way? Meaning Zach was there, it's so amazing, and you are making Aliyah?
Yeah, definitely. We are making Aliyah. It's been a plan of ours for the last 3 years, which is finally happening, thank God. We've watched him grow, and our youngest daughter Lily is also on the program in Na'ale at the moment. She joined in August last year. She's also she's had a beginning was a little bit rough, but now she's having a much smoother time. She's adjusted, and it's taken time to build the fluency and the confidence in Hebrew, but they thrive when they're immersed in the Hebrew language and culture.
Okay, Zach, you need to look after your little sister.
Yeah,
sounds like
he does.
Okay, so what brings a Red Hill boy to go to Israel suddenly and says, "Yeah, you know what? I think I'll move from Red Hill to Israel."
I was gonna do. I don't know how familiar you are with most people aren't with the matric system in Red Hill, but you can choose either the IB or you can do the IB, which is the International Baccalaureate, yeah. Which I was gonna do because I wasn't that keen on going to university in South Africa. What I wanted to do was engineering, and there wasn't any grand opportunities for me in South Africa. So it was a great opportunity when it arose to go to Israel to finish school. You get an Israeli bagrut, which is recognized everywhere, and you could study here engineering if you want, and that's what I'm doing. So it was a fantastic opportunity when it arose. That's just
okay.
Very helpful.
And adapting to the culture?
It's very different. It takes a while. It took me about a whole year to realize that it's fine to just stretch over anyone at the dinner table if you want and grab whatever you want. It's very weird from my house where you have to say, "Please, may I stretch over you?"
You know, my son was visiting in Israel not long ago, and well, maybe I shouldn't say about him. But anyways, he's used to South Africa. So when you order pizza, you call the shop and you say, "Hi, how are you? Well, and you? Good evening. Can I order pizza?" So he calls the pizza shop.
Time for that.
And he goes like, "Hi, Erev Tov, Mashlomchem." And the guy says, "I'm in the middle of working now. What do you need?" And that's a whole different ball game. So
yeah.
Really, it's that adapting to cultures and difference and that space. Is that something that is beneficial? Meaning it took you a year, which probably held you back a bit with your academics and with everything, or not so bad?
It is. Although, because it's an international program, Na'ale, I wasn't only surrounded with Israelis. Most of the people are just, there's Americans, Europeans, South Americans, South Africans, some people from Japan, however they ended up there, I have absolutely no clue. But it's so many different cultures, like, all coming into one. It's quite amazing, actually. We kind of all molded each other to kind of be one, and we all kind of fit each other.
Interesting that you get that exposure, which I would say that you probably had in school here as well. I do know Red Hill quite a bit, and you know there's a bit of different cultures there. So, you know, you're off, you're in Israel, going through whatever you're going through, and missing parents, etc., and your family and the culture, which we'll get to. I'm wondering from a parent's point of view, and we'll have to hear that after our first break, but really, Graham, as a father, you know, with everything going in Israel, it must be not such an easy decision to send your child to do his matric overseas. You can't really help him with homework. You can't really know exactly what's going on, with all the worries, etc. So we do need to take a short break, and when we come back, I'd love to hear from your side as a parent. What is it like to send your child overseas? Discount Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside. Dis-Chem Pharmacists, better health starts here.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G. Chai FM. And we are here in the middle of a fascinating discussion, I'd say three generations of wisdom, as we said. I'm here with Zach Todds and his father and grandfather, speaking about the decision that Zach has made with his family, I hope, to go and learn in Israel, finish his studying there on a Nale program, and he's now at Matric. And right before the break, I asked Graham, what is it like living in South Africa these days, knowing that your son is in Israel studying? You're not there for him. You cannot really support him regularly academically. If there's a distance, there's a lot of fears. You know, I don't know if you're one of us that has that app that every time there's a siren somewhere, you lose sleep or whatever it is. Is that an experience you would recommend?
Yes, Rabbi. Yeah. You know, it all starts with the support we received before and during, you know, the program before it started from Livnat at the Zionist Fed. Even before that, at Red Hill, he was very good at working and progressing in groups. He used to thrive there. So when he got on that plane, and we knew he was going to Israel, we knew it would be difficult. But I think we took comfort from the fact that this particular program works best when you've got some kind of support or family network or even good friends nearby, so that on their weekends when they have a pass on a weekend for Shabbat, they can go and stay at a family and get a real taste of Israeli life or how people live in Israel. And then they come back to school and they get regrounded again. That really helped us a lot. It took away a lot of the anxieties that my wife Lisa and I had. It took time, you know, it was a bit hard, it was a sacrifice. We did see him every 6 months. Sometimes he flew here or we went there. We were lucky like that. But we were most happy that he was connecting to Israel, because there's a lot of benefits there. He got a better understanding of Israeli culture and his real Jewish identity. That's what I think. What do you think? How's his grandpa Colin?
Well, I think that it makes them independent, and they learn to watch each other's backs. And they learn to integrate with people from other countries, which I think is very important. And obviously everyone there is Jewish, that's right, great. Yeah. And I think the program is a wonderful program. And I think that the Nale program is one of the better ones.
So let me ask you, Colin, I was gonna ask you a different question, but Graham took the lead, but that's great. Colin, let me ask you like this. And you know, considering that you, as a grandfather, you got to live the very important days of South Africa and the transition of the country and the changes and the multicultural, I'm guessing that when you were matriculating, you weren't necessarily thinking of a grandson one day that would be matriculating in a different country. And that was a completely different space and culture and potentially something that has in the community progressed in the past years to go. First of all, what is the experience as someone who potentially did not think, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago that you're going to have some of your family overseas necessarily? And specifically with the distance of not seeing Zach so much, you know, Graham spoke about seeing every 6 months. Seems like Zach begs to differ, as they say politely, but whatever it is about the amount of time between when you get to see each other, etc., for as a grandparent, take me through that journey.
Well, I think that for me it was a little bit easier because I left when I was 11.
You left where? We lost you for a second.
School.
Okay, you left the home.
So I think that.
Okay.
So I felt that it was good for me. It makes you very independent. And I felt that it was good for him because he was able to, as Graham says, realize his Jewish identity. And obviously, and I've got a lot of family in Israel. And it was good for him to connect with those people. But as far as grandparents are concerned, obviously it's been very difficult. and very emotional. And but if parents and grandparents can cope with it, I think it's a very good idea that they go to Israel at an earlier age to get used to the culture. And also, Zach's now going to the army, which obviously we're concerned about. But
you know, that has its own complications, which will we're going to focus on the education side of things and the experience and the culture. And also
he's learned to speak Hebrew, which is fantastic. Not everyone has that opportunity.
Okay. And, so, by the way, learning Hebrew at an older age, Zach, I'm sure you do learn some Hebrew, and you did in the schools here in South Africa, etc. But was it that big gap between your Ivrit lessons here in South Africa and what you were exposed to there?
Yeah,
I think very, very similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Similar to
of
the point.
Of course there was a gap. At home, I only did Hebrew when I was in King David until like grade 4 or 5 or something. And it was more like just something, it felt like they just did to pass the time. But here, it's something you actually need to work towards the goal to finish all of your school in Hebrew, because you have to. You get grade 9 and 10, where most of your lessons are in English here, but all the time, 20 hours a week, more or less, you're learning Hebrew to prepare, because grade 11 and 12, most people are mixed in with the normal Israeli class, and you have to complete all your final exams mostly in Hebrew, obviously besides English, the subject.
Okay, so suddenly that becomes a subject for you. The idea of your family coming after you, your sister after you, your parents coming to live in Israel, does that make the journey easier, harder, the same, irrelevant? Where would you place that?
Obviously, it's not as, like, I've been here alone, so that's obviously more difficult than if I came with my parents. But the thing that helps is that here, kind of, they support you and they teach you, they house you, feed you, all of the above. But for me, in my case at least, it's really nice that my parents are coming. So I'm not going to go probably home in the holidays when school ends. I'll be here with my parents, which is it's really, really great.
Okay.
You know, it's the goal.
And you'll have the opportunity to write all their texts in Hebrew for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can if I want.
Okay. Yeah. So that's important. And for you, Colin, knowing that, you know, you're watching your grandson who's doing well and happy and enjoying and has the support from the system, but that means your son-in-law, your daughter, the family are going right after him. How does that work for you?
Very sad. Very sad. But we'll cope. Okay. We have to.
So the resilience will be there. So the difficulty and the missing, but yet it is part of the process. You know, I'm curious, and Graham, I'm going to ask you as the parent, okay? But I'm going to refer to you kind of in the middle generation. You know, I always hear about the incredible work that Livnat does at Nale and how she knows every student and she supports the family and the students get support there. Considering that this is a program that, in many cases will send the family after the students to go and be part of this Aliyah process. Is there any support given to grandparents? And what is the something that potentially Nale could be doing, if they would, for the extended family, knowing that their loved ones are now far away?
That's a very good question. I mean, we've watched Zach grow into a different human being. He's very, self-confident, and he's done really well at the school, and that's obviously drawn us to be more interested in Israel, although it was a plan for us. But because we're leaving, it could also pull the older generation. They're not opposed to that. I mean, at some stage, it might be a possibility. But I think this program has its ways of pulling the parents as well, because they see how the children adapt and never want to leave. They're very settled, and their future is quite bright there, something that they don't find elsewhere. It's also that they get exposed to all these different cultures, different students from all over the world. Even in Zach's boarding school, he's in a dorm room with a Canadian, a Brazilian, and a French person. So they become friends, and they become an international kind of student, which leaves them living in Israel quite happily. It's in the middle of the both worlds, if you know what I mean.
Which is interesting because, you know, Joburg itself in international standards is not an old city. And there's many immigrants here from many different countries, if not second generation, then third generation, maybe fourth or fifth. But that's it. I mean, so there is a very strong multiculture over here. Zach, I'm wondering, what is it about Israel that, you know, this optimistic view of a better future and believing, you know, exchange students happens all over the world, every country, every place. Students are going consistently from place to place, changing cultures. It's a real thing. And many of the exchange students will go home eventually and they will go back to their original country and stay there and connect. There's something about this program that I'm constantly hearing from students about, and here's my future. And I'm wondering why. Why is it different than a exchange student with America, Nigeria, China, wherever you can go?
So it's an easy question to answer. My answer would be that it's in a very important part of your life that this program happened. It's right when you finish school. And at that point, you're having to decide kind of where your future will go. What are you going to become? Where are you going to study? Are you going to study? Are you going to work? Where do you want to live? Where do you want to start a family? It comes at a very complicated time in your life. And because they give you so much guidance and opportunities here, it's very easy to just remain here and carry on a path here that's kind of not preset, because not everyone does the same thing, but it's already made very easy by this program. Whereas in other programs, maybe it will just be school, and then they're like, okay, bye, you can go home now. Whereas here, I had a meeting the other week from a university where I could apply directly after school to go do engineering in a university directly after school, and then afterwards work as an engineer in the army, as my example.
Okay. So let me ask you, you know, coming from Victory Park, living in Victory Park, and going to Red Hill School, I'm sure you were exposed and you have friends that don't share the same vision as you and potentially could feel very uncomfortable with your decision of going and to be a student in Israel. Do you have these kind of discussions or debates and friends of yours telling you, Zach, what are you doing? It's against what we believe. You're out of your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. When I first told some of my friends, even the Jewish ones at Red Hill, they looked at me like I was off my trolley, crazy. Looked at me like I was insane, that I was even remotely considering leaving the country, leaving my parents, going to a random school that I'd only ever been to once to visit to see if it was nice, and spending the next 3 or 4 years there. So I had to obviously defend myself and come up
with reasons. Why did you defend it? Like, why did you say, because normally students don't necessarily push social pressure aside.
I guess it was just an opportunity too grand to pass up. No one could kind of convince me to not do that, because it was just such a good opportunity. Even if I lost all my friends, more or less, it would still be worth it, because I'd be in such a high place when at the end of it, when I come out.
Wow, that's a very strong statement.
That's just my view.
Amazing. I'd love to hear from the other generations as well, what their friends said. Rams, what are your friends thinking about this idea? Okay, so I think they must need to think about the answer. We lost them a bit. So, Zach, so we'll continue with, you know, your thoughts about situation and reality of, you know, reaching a point that you say, well, if I would lose all my friends, it would still be worth it. That's a very profound sentence. No, and that's something you were saying before you made Aliyah. My question went to Nale. Are you saying that today, 3 years later?
Funny enough, I didn't end up losing all of my friends. I'm still in touch with a few of them. But I made new friends here that are just so much more special, because you spend all your time with them. You see them all day. You eat all three meals with them. You go to sleep looking at them. You wake up looking at them. It's just much more special. So
it was
more or less worth it. But I'm still in contact with a lot of the other friends from home.
Okay. We'll talk about after the break if you do get challenged sometimes still. We do need to take a short break. And then when we come back, we'll hear more about this. And definitely would love to hear from your dad and grandfather as well about their friends and family thoughts about this idea and different visions and, you know, how that fits in with today's culture. A short break, and we will come right back.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G. We are back and we are here in a very interesting discussion about Na'ale, about, you know, the idea of matriculating, going to high school in a different country and what that means, specifically in Israel, and what that means. And right before the break, Zach, I asked you about your friends, and you said that your friends are, you know, still with you with that, even the ones that were shocked of your idea. And you mentioned about not losing some of them, but do you get challenged by some of your old friends?
Yeah, a lot of them, because of how the school years are different. At home, it's January till December. Here, it's September till June. Because of that, I have to go back half a year to restart grade 10. And a lot of my friends who matriculated at the end of last year made fun of me. Said, oh, like I still have 6 months of school left before I even finish school. So that wasn't nice.
Got
but
okay.
Besides that, it doesn't matter that much.
Okay, and you told them, listen, it's great. I love school, so I benefited another 6 months. Who doesn't love school? Okay.
Exactly.
Graham, your friends, families, coworkers, people, here you have a son in Israel, in the delicate times we are in South Africa. What are the response to it?
Yeah, so, you know, I have a standard answer to that. We had a lot of friends and even work colleagues. I said, are you crazy? And there's rockets, and how are you feeling? And get him home, and... you know, and I just calmed him down. I said, you know, that's where we believe he's happiest and where he's supposed to be. And I said, there's a lot of support. There's a, you know, a homeroom teacher. They've got their own teacher. They've got a social worker. There's a whole care package, and it's very nurturing there for them. So to be honest, I heard in his voice, he was never nervous. Even Lily, our daughter, she's never been really nervous. So it calms us down as well. So we just relay that to all the people. Then they see the kids, they see how they've changed every time they come on holiday to South Africa, and they say, you know what, it's really worked out for them and they're really happy. And that's the best gift for us. I've just seen this change in our kid. Really, that's the only thing I can say. It's been worth it.
Sounds very, very optimistic about it and highly recommending. Colin, from your social circles?
It's very, very difficult, but I think people are very... feel we've done the right that our family have done the right thing, and I think it's important that they get to meet Israelis, and also the program gives you a lot of confidence because they look, as Graham says, they really look after the kids and they give them a very good support system, and I think it's a good idea. Our friends obviously feel for us. It's not easy, but hopefully we'll see them often.
Please God. Yes. And that's extremely important. And you know, the reality of today is that it's in a way possible. Not as much as we would want, but it's not like, 30, 40, 50 years ago when it was really expensive, really difficult. It wasn't as common, the differences and, you know, changing over from place to place. You know, there's a certain point, Zach, that it sounds like you're shifting from a South African in Israel to an Israeli. Has that point happened to you yet?
Yes.
Your family says yes.
I can't notice it myself, but I suppose that's probably happened. I've spent so much time here.
It sounds like you're at the stage that in Israel. In Israel, he's the South African, and in South Africa, he's the Israeli. It sounds
Exactly. He's become very confident and determined and happy in his own skin. I told him he's very good. Even on this interview, I think he's got a face for radio, I told him.
Amazing. Well, it's a good thing nobody sees what he comments here. But Zach, you mentioned a lot about Jewish identity and connecting to your Jewish roots. What is the Jewish identity that you've gotten and achieved there that you didn't get here?
Well, for me, it was just like in Red Hill, it was really just me and like two other Jews, I think. So here it's just, you're surrounded by them and you begin to understand that it's not just, I don't know how to say it in a politically correct way.
Surrounded by them wasn't a politically correct one, but okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's 100%
fine. The nice way I can think to put it is, in South Africa, most of the Jews are the same. They have very similar thoughts. They all have kind of, they're all in the same more or less circle of friends, a lot of them. But here there's so many different kinds of Jews, different ways that Jews think, different things that they do. I don't know how to express it properly, but it's a very unique thing to experience.
But it has increased your Jewish identity? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because at home, if I was going to be what most people think of stereotypically Jewish for a South African, I'd be, I don't even know what. But here you can be anything you want, and you're still more or less classified as Jewish. You're as Jewish as anyone else. It's
a very comfortable. What are you seeing as a father and grandfather when it comes to Jewish identity and, you know, connection to roots and finding your place within from far when you see Zach and when he comes to visit?
It's very, I'm overwhelmed by it because he's got a very strong connection to Israel, which came, I mean, even as a child, he always loved languages and he loved, you know, we traveled a bit. So he loved new cultures. So I always knew he had that side. But now he's got this deeper understanding of Jewish culture and history, which is just astounding. He teaches me Hebrew words, new words, and he's got this love of languages that for example, on this Na'ale program, last year he did French, and now this year he's doing Portuguese as a matric bagrut subject. And he's very happy with that. It's just part of his personal growth and purpose that I've seen.
What do you think?
I think that he's mixing.
Go ahead, Colin.
He mixes with people. Yes, Rabbi?
Yes, I'm saying, what is your perspective of what you're seeing, the shift in Zach's connection to his roots, his religion, to his identity? What are the shifts you're seeing?
Well, I think in South Africa, his relationship with Jews was very static. Over there, I think that he's definitely feeling more Jewish than he did over here.
More comfortable.
And more comfortable in his own skin, as far as that's concerned. And I think he sees a lot of religious people, a lot of irreligious people, and he's able to make his own decisions about how he feels. But the important thing is that living in Israel, I think that it's always been something that his parents and his grandparents have always thought about and wished that we could all go and live together there. But we'll see. I think that the parents must go first, and then the grandparents will make a decision.
Okay. So I have to be a bit of a nudge because, you know, we've been speaking for majority of the show already, and you both, all three of you have been bursting of optimism and energy, and what an amazing program. And I'm sure it is, that Na'ale is an amazing program and it's been a great journey. But let's be fair, what are the difficulties? What are the challenges that you would say, you know, we need to address them, we need to be aware of them as well?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. To be frank, it's, you know, they do get lonely sometimes. I mean, there's only so much support that they can get there because there are some quiet lonely days, especially on weekends when there's a closed Shabbat and they have to stay at the school in Mosinson. Even though it's, you know, it's a lovely campus, they can only, you know, have so much fun. So if you don't have that support system that I spoke about earlier of family or close friends where they can go, or even a host family, Na'ale offer that. They're quite wonderful. It didn't work out for Zach. He didn't want one, but my daughter's loving her host family a little bit more than she loves us, I guess. Sometimes me and my wife think that. But she's got this host family in Renana, and, you know, it's just a bus ride away on Thursday afternoon, and she's waits till the last second to come back to school some Shabbat. So, you know, there is a cost on that. And also, they get a bit homesick sometimes. You know, if someone's traveling and they, you know, Zach misses Marmite, or he gets...
I was going to say biltong, but okay.
Yeah, biltong. Yeah, and he gets itchy if you don't send him 11 peppermint crisps. But, you know, those are the small things. I mean, he's got a good outlook. And I think the kids grow and it builds them because they become more resilient. It's the same as the Israeli culture. They see all this culture becoming resilient and the kids follow suit. That's what we've seen with both kids. And we've been lucky because we've seen it with the son who didn't tell us anything. Zach really told us very little. We used to get reports from the school staff and then have a parent-teachers meeting, and they used to say to us, no, Zach's wonderful, goodbye. It's 3 seconds, get off the phone. And Lily is a little bit different. She used to keep us on the phone. She used to tell us, you know, this one was terrible to me and that one was wonderful to me. And it's a different social circle with the girls, you know. I think it's a bit more harder. It's harder for the girls.
in a way. So it's a different dynamic. Zach, from your experience, before we take a break, what are the challenges?
Challenges, definitely trying to, at least for me in the first month or so, it was trying to find out where exactly it is that I fit in here. Because it's not always completely obvious in which group you belong, with which people you belong. That's not always completely obvious, but I figured it out. So hopefully most people would be able to. Another difficulty is obviously keeping the positive outlook, which is difficult at times, especially when the war started. I wasn't even sure if I was going to stay here. I ended up staying here, but we figured that it's only worthwhile to have a positive outlook, because why not? But there's lots of difficulties that would be unique to every person. Some people may miss home. Some people may not miss home. Some people would miss being here in the holidays. Some people don't.
So that's very individual per person.
Yeah.
And it does look like you have a optimistic background of three generations of optimism. Take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to have our final questions and start ending the show for today. A short break. We will be right back.
Torah isn't education. It's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G. We are back and really at the end of a very fascinating discussion. I'm sure you guys found it interesting as well. And I'm saying even to people I'm speaking to, I don't know, Zach, based on the last discussion, I have a feeling that this is the longest that you three have been chatting in a long time straight for us. So... it definitely but you know, 30 seconds, but here we go. So now we have the show. I'm just going to ask you the same question, because we have, you know, this did happen through Nale, and that is the journey you took. And I'm, each of you, if you could tell me shortly, 10 seconds, what do you wish and hope that people know about this opportunity, about Nale, and about other opportunities that they can have in this regard of going, immigrating, connecting, doing your degree somewhere else and coming back, etc. Zach.
So specifically in Israel, there's just so much opportunity everywhere. The developing country, and there's just plenty of opportunity everywhere for younger people, I guess like me, who want to start a career. So that's my positive thing.
Amazing. Graham?
I think it's a springboard for a wonderful future. I mean, if you're in engineering, like Zach might like, or medicine, or any faculty, I mean, there's so much opportunity, and there's about 15 routes that you could take at any given time. And they're also very amenable. If you haven't got this subject, you can bolt on subjects, you know, to get the right points, and you can always get into a university there. So it makes a lot of sense. Once you've come through this program and you're fluent in Hebrew, which is the stage that they get you at, he's got the world at his feet.
Amazing. Colin?
I think that if anybody's listening to the program and they're considering sending their children, or if their children are listening and they're thinking about the program, the Nale program, I think, is a very, very good program. Teaches them independence, teaches them to mix with with people from other walks of life, people from different countries like Japan. And I think it's excellent for them, for their confidence. And I think to be in Israel, to see how Israel really is, the true Israel. And I think it's a good idea.
Amazing.
The program is wonderful.
Amazing. Wow. That's, you know, very special to hear from you saying that, considering that you do miss your grandson and you do miss your family, and you're still able to recommend it so strongly. I think that says a lot. Thank you so much for being with us today. I think it's a very interesting, fascinating discussion.
Thank you for the time.
It's been a fascinating discussion. So thank you, Zach, Colin, Graham. Thank you to Craig for managing the show perfectly. Thank you, Senna, for putting this interview in place. Thank you to our listeners that you hear week after week, to every week with another topic, another discussion, something we could learn and know. And please, God, you're going to continue listening today to the radio and the show. And soon our next presenter will be the one telling you great, exciting news about Idan Alexander. Hopefully we're all davening and praying and wishing that we get there. And I know that Mark will do the best to give us that information. Please, God. So Stay safe, and we will be back next week, Monday, 2 to 3, as we are every week with a new topic to learn and grow from.